So you remember the story that I told about the guy who was on the train with a little baby that kept crying and crying, and people around started getting aggravated and irritated that this little baby was crying, and they started whispering, why don't he do something? Why don't he do something about that baby crying? You know, we can't get any rest. We can't go to sleep on this train. And so one man got bold enough to represent the crowd, and he went back and said, look, man, you know, we're trying to rest, and we're trying to concentrate reading, and we can't do that with this little baby crying back here. Is there any way that you can get the baby to be quiet? And the man said, well, you know what? I wish I could, but his mother just died, and her casket is in the back of the train, and we're on the way to take her back home.
Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder and dean of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today as we continue our series titled, What We Have is a Failure to Communicate, with the conclusion of Part 6, How to Present a Problem to Anyone. So let's rejoin Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of how to present a problem to anyone.
Whom I know not from where they are. And so, and if you get into the Hebrew of this and the language that he uses, he was very indignant about this. I mean, he didn't say this in a polite way, like, you know, well, you know, I'm not sure who these guys are. You know, maybe we better check them out. He didn't say that. He was very indignant in the way that he addressed these men. And so he sends them away saying, we're not going to help David. We don't even know who David is. Liar. Liar. Now we see that the problem is proliferated in verse 12 and 13. So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him all those sayings. And David said unto his men, gird ye every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword, and David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the baggage. So David was going out to take Nabal out. He was going to take him out. He was going to kill him. And not only was he going to kill Nabal, but all them guys that he protected at one time in the wilderness, all the men that he protected, he was going to wipe them all out. So David gets a little upset here, and he's getting ready to go after Nabal. Now we see his wife. Praise God for his wife. You know, the presentation of the problem. Abigail learns about her husband's foolish reply from one of the servants. And see, the servant didn't even feel comfortable enough to go tell Nabal the problem. He went because he knew. And notice how the scripture makes us aware of some things before something even happens. How the scripture lets us know that his wife was of a wise countenance and that he was evil and that he was a fool. So the servants didn't even go to him, but they went to his wife and they told his wife, Abigail, what had happened. And so what does she do? She goes out into the wilderness to meet Nabal or David and to, you know, present the problem to him. Now look at verse 23, and when Abigail saw David, she hastened and alighted from the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed to the ground and fell at his feet and said, upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be, and let thy handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thy hearing and hear the words of thy handmaid. Let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this, and look what she calls her husband, this worthless fellow, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. His name meant fool, and his wife said, look, I've been living with him for the last 30 years, so I know that he's a fool. For his name is as he is. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I thank thy handmaid saw not the young men of the Lord whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withheld thee from coming to shed blood from the avenging of thyself with thine own hand, now let thy enemies and they that seek evil against my Lord be as Nabal. And now this blessing, which thy handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, let it be even unto the young men who follow my Lord. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thy handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and the evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee and seek thy soul, but the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of thy life with the Lord thy God, and the soul of thy enemies then shall he sling out as in the middle of a sling. And it came to pass, when the Lord shall done for my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over all Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of thy heart unto thy Lord, either that thou hast shed blood without cause, or that my Lord avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt with my Lord, then remember thy handmaid. What a beautiful request. What, Abigail comes and she says, look, David, there's no doubt that there's rumors going around that you're going to be the next king of Israel. Oh, we're not debating that. We're not discussing that. You are going to be the next king of Israel. And so wouldn't it be a shame? Wouldn't it be a shame if you had on your record that you killed a fool? She said, David, look, this guy's an idiot. His men know he's an idiot. I know he's an idiot. And God knows he's an idiot. So is there some way, knowing that you're going to attain greatness one day, that you can overlook this? Because see, the thing that she realized is that, once again, not only David, he had 400 men that was going with him. So he wasn't only going for Nabal. He was going for everybody. And so she realized that. And she comes and she intercedes. Man, the power of an interceding wife. The power of a wife who will get down on her knees and intercede for her husband instead of complaining about him and saying how no good he is and this and that. You know, intercede. And she intercedes. And we see the purging of the problem is found in verse 32. And David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who sent thee this day to me. And blessed be thy advice. And blessed be thou, who has kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with my own hand. For indeed, as the Lord God of Israel lives, who hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hast hastened and come to meet me, surely there had not been left unto Nabal by morning the light any male child. So David received of her hand that which she brought unto him, and said unto her, go up in peace to thy house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice and have accepted thy person. What do we get from this? What do we get from? There was a problem here. And that we need to understand that whenever there's problems, that there are ways that we can come and deal with those problems. Dealing with the problem is not trying to get a little army over here and get against folk. Dealing with the problem is not to sit, soak, sour, and stink. To deal with the problem is not to be over here in the corner angry and bitter. But when there's problems, the lesson that we learn from Abigail is that Abigail came in a spirit in which she presented the problem and it was worked out. Now, what I'm saying is that not all problems are going to work out like this. You know, would be to God that every time there was a problem with the saints, that it could be worked out the way that Abigail worked this out right here. But that's not true. So what I want to do right now, as we use this as kind of our nucleus thought, is to move and talk about how do we present problems, or how do we present a problem to anyone whenever there's a problem. Well, what do we do before the problem? Well, Proverbs 15 and verse 28 says that the heart of the righteous studies how to answer a matter. That you think about before you even go to address a person, before you even go to deal with the problem, that you think about what it is that you're going to be dealing with. See, many times people are foolish. The saints are foolish because they rush in and they just start dealing with problems. And you have not been equipped. You have not prepared yourself to deal with problems. You know, when you think about problems, problems are devastating in the lives of God's people. Problems are issues that cause churches to split. Problems are issues that call folk to leave churches. Problems are issues that call families to go at each other in battle one against another. Problems are very serious things. And if you have to deal with a problem, you better go prepared and equipped to deal with the problem. Just don't be jumping up there trying to deal with a problem. Well, how can we deal with the problem? And I'm going to move through these pretty quick because I know the hour is getting late. The first thing, you got to ask yourself, have I prayed about this? Folk want to go deal with issues and they haven't prayed. You know, one of the first things that some people want to ask when somebody get ready, well, have you prayed about that? Have you prayed about that? The first question I'm going to ask you whenever you deal with a problem, have you prayed about it? No, I was just so angry, I had to go deal with it. You know, I was upset, and I just had to go deal with the problem. Well, see, that's a good indication right there who was in control while you were dealing with the problem. Because we already know where anger, you know, sinful anger, we know where that comes from. All right, don't come from God. So that we know who was in control of that conversation right there. Have I prayed about this matter? Do I have all the facts? You know, do I have all the facts? That when I go and deal with this issue, do I have all the facts? You remember the story that I told about the guy who was on the train with the little baby that kept crying and crying? And people around started getting aggravated and irritated that this little baby was crying. And they started whispering, why don't he do something? Why don't he do something about that baby crying? You know, we can't get any rest. We can't go to sleep on this train. And so one man got bold enough to represent the crowd. And he went back and said, look, man, you know, we're trying to rest and we're trying to concentrate reading. And we can't do that with this little baby crying back here. Is there any way that you can get the baby to be quiet? And the man said, well, you know what? I wish I could, but his mother just died, and her casket is in the back of the train, and we're on the way to take her back home again. See, they address the situation without all the facts. See, and a lot of times that's what the saints do. The saints want to go, and they want to deal with problems, and they don't have all the facts. You got what he said, she said. You got what so-and-so told you. You got what you heard over the grapevine. You know, you didn't gather all the facts before you went. Or even if you didn't have all the facts before you went, you got to go into it with an open mind saying, look, at least I need to be seeking when I sit down with this individual or individuals who we have the problem with. I need to sit down and discern what the facts are in this situation. Because I'm going to tell you what, folks will lie. Thank you, Sister Evelyn. I know somebody's with me this morning. Folks will lie. And you'll let somebody build you up and swell you up and make you think that you got all the facts, and you go rushing in and you rushing in to defend a lie. So you need to have all the facts. Then the thing you need to ask is how have I contributed to this problem? You know, what is my part in this thing? You know, let's for 1 minute, instead of me, you know, getting upset and attacking somebody else, let me sit back and see how I have contributed to the problem. Lady in the airport, sitting down, had a pack of crackers. Crackers were sitting on the table. Stranger sat beside her. He picked up her crackers and began to eat them. She got very indignant about that. She didn't say anything to him. Just in her mind, you know. She pulled the crackers back to her, took one, ate one. He pulled it back and took another one and ate it. You know, she got upset. She's all huffy now. You know, she pulled him back over, took one and ate it. He pulled it back over, ate another one. And so she just kind of put the crackers all the way, said, you know, if he's going to eat them, he might as well just go ahead and eat them. And so she got up and left. Went to get on the plane, checked in her bag, and her crackers were down in her bag. You see? Sometimes, you know, we need to realize that we might be the problem. You know, she thought that this guy was the problem. But in reality, she was the problem. And so the first thing that we need to do when we address a problem is we need to ask, how have I contributed to this problem? Do I have a spirit of reconciliation? That in the end, whenever I deal with this problem, you know, as I vision the end of this problem, is the end of this problem, Brother Jeff,
yeah.
Is the end of this problem,
yeah.
Is that the end of the problem?
Yeah.
Or is the end of the problem, yeah, I got him.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I made him look bad. Yeah, I got off my chest what I needed to get off.
Okay.
If that's the end of the problem, then your spirit is wrong. You don't need to go to anybody until you got the spirit of reconciliation. Yeah, there might be something that you need to get off your chest, and you will get it off in the process. But if you go solely for the purpose of getting it off your chest and not the spirit of reconciliation, you've missed the whole, you've missed what Jesus died for. What did Jesus pray in John 17? Lord, I pray that they might be one, even as you and I are one. That's the spirit of reconciliation. And so, whenever I got a problem, first and foremost, the thought that I have to have is, am I going to reconcile? Have I looked at this from the other person's point of view? You know, have I walked in their shoes? Have I thought about how they might feel? Have I thought about what issues that they might be dealing with? Have I thought about anything, circumstances that they are going through? Next, have I thought clearly through the matter? Here goes one right here. Am I willing to do whatever it takes to solve the problem? So you know the thing I like about Abigail? What did Abigail do? She took supplies. She took supplies. She said, look, I'm not even going to go talk to him about this problem, but I'm going to go and say, look, here's something that we can do about it. Here's how we can work through it. Oh, when you present a problem to a person, sometimes it behooves us to have a solution for the problem. They did a study of top executives. And the one thing that they found out that were common among top executives that stayed in their position was that they not only suggested the problem or identified the problem, but they also had the solution. You know? So how much more are we as God's people handling the truths of God, that whenever we have a problem, that we not only deal with the problem, but we also have the solution? What will I do if an argument starts? You know, you got to think about that, because I'm going to tell you what, you know, I need to preach a message. I think I did preach one time, but I might need to revive it on how to receive criticism, because I find out, you know, some of the saints, you know, we can be good at going and preparing ourselves to tell somebody something, but when it comes time for us to be on that receiving end, you know, it's not the nice place to be. It's not always that comfortable for folks on that other end, and so we need to, you know, we need to receive things. I know I've had to receive a lot of things, you know, on the phone, in my office, sometimes standing back there, in the back, people going out. I got to receive stuff. And, you know, you got to have the spirit to be able to receive. And then you got to be able to, once it's received, then go consider what's being said. You know, just don't, you know, jump to conclusions. But, you know, you got to, you know, see what it is that's going to happen if you get into this dialogue with this person and all of a sudden an argument starts. What are the best words for me to use in presenting this problem? If you have any, go read with Abigail. Look, man, Abigail, I know that the Lord has a plan for your life. I know that God is going to bless you. I know that God is going to allow you to be king. I know that God. I mean, she went and she didn't butter him up, but she told the truth. She knew what the real deal was, and she went and she used the right words in that situation. Pray about the words that you're going to use. You know that some words set folk off. You know that certain words make people upset. You know certain words are antagonistic. And when you use those words, all you're doing is inciting a riot. That's all you're doing. Do I have a spirit of humility? Do I have a spirit of humility? What the first thing when she got the day, what did she do? She got off her animal and bowed down. Spirit of humility. And then, have I considered the outcome, both positively and negatively? Abigail, she said, look, you're going to be king one day. You're going to be the king one day. You know what? And that's a positive thing. But wouldn't it be a negative thing if you killed this idiot and had that on your resume? See, she considered the positive and the negative outcomes. Let me move on to the second thing, presenting the problem. Amos said, can two walk together except they be agreed, except there be an appointment, except there be a coming together. When you come together, the first one was, what do you do before you come to that person? The second thing is, when you come to that person, what do? You give the other person the opportunity to explain their side. You know, sometimes, you know, we get a lot of exercise. You know, the biggest aerobic exercise of a lot of Christians is jumping to conclusions. That's the biggest exercise of some Christians. You don't need to go to ballets or anywhere else. You know, you got all the exercise you need because you always jump into conclusions. All right? Give the other person the opportunity to explain their side. Clearly define the problem. Take your responsibility for a contribution to the problem. List all possible solutions. Come to agreement upon one solution and talk about the outcome if the problem is not resolved. And then I put on the back, and we don't have time to deal with it this morning, but I did the sermon on Matthew 18. So if it's not resolved at that level, then you can turn on the back and you can read according to the scripture. Once again, we want to be biblical, what the next steps are. So it's right on the back, all outlined, all detailed for you. And then my final point this morning is after you present the problem. After you present the problem. Proverbs 24:32 says that there ought to be some things that you learn. That after you've prayed over the problem, before you presented it, when you presented it, then after, you need to say, what can I learn from this situation? What lesson is there in this for me? The first thing, what did I learn about myself through this process? You know, once again, let's not look at other people. Let's look at ourselves first. What did I learn about myself through this process? What did I learn about others through this process? And if I could go back, what would I do differently? Now, saints, I'll tell you what. You need to keep this in your Bible somewhere, all right? Because I guarantee you that a problem is going to come up. And some of y'all might not even get out of your pew good before a problem comes up. Some of you already got problems stewing in the cooker, all right? So all I'm saying is that, as you know, as Brother Jeff got up earlier and he shared his heart, you know, he shared his heart about, you know, us being all that God wants us to be. You know, I work, I put these sermons together because I want us to be all that God can be too. And I think that, you know, as we honor the word of God, God will honor us. And that if, you know, we got a problem with somebody, you know, it may be that in that first stage that you might even come to the conclusion that it's not even worth moving on. You know, you might just say, well, this is some little silly issue that I got, and, you know, I could just very easily drop it and move on from this point. Then maybe not, all right? Maybe not. But at least I think that if we will handle things according to these steps, that we'll do it God's way and that we will be biblical in our approach. And we know that God honors his word.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. We hope you were challenged by today's teaching. Join us next time for the first half of Part 7, Speak, Lord, for Your Servant Heareth. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes and outline of today's teaching, how to present a problem to anyone, you can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request How to Present a Problem to Anyone, or program number 060226. That's 877-831-5060 and request How to Present a Problem to Anyone, or program number 060226. Today's teaching was part 6 of our 9-part series titled What We Have is a Failure to Communicate. The entire series is made available by request. If you would like to make a financial contribution to the program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15208. We here at Anchored in Jesus would like to invite you to come and be our guest this Sunday at Bethany Baptist Church. Service starts at 10:30. For directions or further details, not only pertaining to our Sunday morning worship service, but also the various other services at the Bethany Center each week, and training opportunities offered through the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, refer to bethanybaptist-pgh.org. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, is taken from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.